is Davin's Den.
Okie dokie, we are back. So as I teased on break, Kellyanne Conway said that the cause of the horrible tragedy was anti-religiosity and late night comics. I will play it for you, and then we can discuss. Joe's immediate reaction was to roll his eyes.
Where the fuck is it? Come on, man, you motherfucker. Oh, here we go.
Oh, wow. People heard that. That's what I sound like when I'm trying to find shit.
That's
all right. Let's all enjoy the wisdom of Kellyanne.
Anti-religiosity in this country, that it's somehow in vogue and funny to make fun of anybody of faith, to constantly be making fun of people who express religion.
This morning on Fox News, advisor to President Trump, Kellyanne Conway, defended him in the wake of the shooting at the Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue. 11 Jewish congregants were killed, and many Trump critics blamed the president's fiery rhetoric as a motivating factor for the killer. On Fox and Friends, Conway stood by Trump's reaction.
He denounced anti-Semitism in all forms. He said we must rise above this evil. He's called for the death penalty for this murderer in Pittsburgh who gunned down 11 innocent people.
And while Conway did call the shooting an anti-Semitic act, she also placed the blame on a culture of anti-religiosity, specifically comedians who joke about religion.
The late night comedians, the unfunny people on TV shows, it's always anti-religious.
To that point, earlier this year, comedian and The View host Joy Behar apologized for calling Vice President Pence's religious beliefs a mental illness. But on Twitter, critics were quick to call out Conway for placing the blame on comedians. Political analyst Jeff Greenfield tweeted, "Twisting this murderous act into a hit on late-night comedians is in some ways even worse than flat-out anti-Semitic rants because of the purposeful dishonesty here." And some equated her anti-religiosity stance to that of the All Lives Matter movement, which was a response to Black Lives Matter. And a few critics took issue with a slightly different aspect, with one tweeting, "Is anti-religiosity a word?" A quick search on Merriam-Webster shows that apparently it is not.
It is not. It got cut off. Okay. So, if we're to follow, the president is not to blame, and I'm not saying the president is to blame to this, but they've said that the president is not to blame, his rhetoric is not to blame for the massacres, but late-night comedians are to blame. So, I guess the next question is, do they need to search Pittsburgh for all the comics who said they killed that Saturday night? Did we search Florida last week for all the comedians who said they bombed? Are you fucking insane? How do they trot her out there? How do they let any of these people talk?
Well, basically, most of the late night comedians do goof on religion. To say that they're responsible is ridiculous.
These were people praying. These were people praying.
I understand that. But
this nut got motivated by Kimmel.
She's
Jimmy Kimmel doesn't motivate anybody to do anything except make little song parodies.
That's Fallon. But thank you, dear.
Yeah, but
Fallon. Sorry.
But just to
we're really working through a lot of jokes tonight, aren't we?
P.U. Holy. But just to observe the situation, a lot of late night comics goof on religion. They do.
I don't watch them, but I'll take your word for it.
Because comics are observationalists, and they see that, and they'll call on the ridiculous of religion, the pomposity,
them ever saying, but you should walk into a place of worship and shoot
of
people.
Of course, and Kellyanne Conway is wrong for saying that they're responsible.
Who's got more clout, Colbert or Trump?
Some days it goes day by day.
Fucking sad and funny. Who had the better day?
Who had the better day?
Who's got better material? That
you know, is a speech writer or a comedy writer? Oh. You know, it says. But yeah, she's wrong on that. She's just reacting to it because she sees the late night shows. They're always critiquing or goofing on religion.
Joe, what happens as a performer, as a comedian, if you try to separate the audience? How does that set go?
It does not go well.
It does not go well. So to think that we would do that.
Exactly, exactly. Because you got to, you know, and the funny thing is when you do political commentary or religious commentary, you really, and you get your ass handed to you on many nights till you figure out the right way to do it. So
what happens if we attack an audience member as being other? How does that go for us?
Other what?
Not one of us, whatever us is.
It doesn't go well.
It does not go well.
No.
No. See, comedians don't really do well when they divide and they separate. That's not how this shit works.
But here's the deal. She's talking about the late night comics or comics in general. What did she say?
She specifically said late night comics.
All right. So let's take the late night comics. Now, when you're doing a comedy show, you're doing 15, 25, 35, you know, up to that. So you got that. You comic regular nightclub comic would not do that. When you're doing a late show, you're based on commentary during the day. You'll do that. If the bit doesn't go, you move on and stuff like that. You've got an audience, you know, that will laugh pretty much at anything. You've got, you know, the guys asking for them to laugh. So the late night comics, they could take more of a chance doing that.
And they're also performing to people that love them.
Right. So
kind of like the president does at his rallies.
Yeah. I'm not going to walk away from that. No.
But at some point, do we hold any of these people accountable? Do we – at some point, do we just go, you know what, Kellyanne, no more? I mean, I know there's our networks that won't put her on and shows that won't put her on.
Well, it gets to the point where the general populace has a rational mind.
No, we don't. I just went over the bombing shit from last week.
In general.
In minority. We're fucking nuts. Some of us.
Some of us, okay? So do we alter what we do or what is done to a minority, or do we keep going the way we're going?
Well, you know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say we need to fucking change immediately, but you like this guy. So, you know, you're going to say stay the course.
But
the tone this guy set.
Everybody.
But the tone this guy set.
Everybody.
Yeah,
the president.
Everybody needs to change the shit.
The late night comics. Us as comics.
No, the late night comics. Listen.
Musicians.
Here's the thing. Kellyanne can say what she wants, but she needs to face the backlash, which is fine. You know, Kathy Griffin, I didn't approve of her fucking stunt with the severed head. I said that was stupid, and I had no problem with her, you know, losing all those dates. We know what we're getting to. I have a problem when you bitch and moan about it. But you can't compare them to us. They got so much more power. All we have is jokes. They move the world. You know, markets move on them. Armies move on what these people say. What happens with us? If we're at our best, maybe they buy a DVD or a T-shirt. Maybe we get them to make an impulse buy on merch. I mean, I try to change minds, and I have conversations with people after the shows. But even on my best day, I do not have the clout that these people have.
You know, some people, you know, you work the road. Some people, you know, I'm sure you had people come up to you. Hey, I got a great black joke for you.
All the time. That's why.
And I'm like, well, I'll use that at the cross burning. You know, so some people don't get. Those are the people that, you know.
And I tell you what, cross burning's not easy gigs. So the fact that you
burn your ass and stuff like that sometimes.
Ash is getting all over the place.
Stupid rope catches.
They're very enthusiastic, though. They are very happy to be there. Hey, what brings you into town? Oh, Jamal.
Yeah.
All right.
God.
Would you like to hear Kelly Conway as a comedian?
She'd be god awful.
I have the footage.
As a comic?
Joe, would I lie to you? Would I bring you something that is not 100% authentic?
Let's listen to a set.
Okay.
Listen to a tight five.
Well, it ain't tight and it ain't five, but we can listen to as much as you guys would like. Here we go.
You know when you have one of those days where not one but two things that never ever happens to you? I'm walking down the street, I look up, and I see Haley's Comet. I get back to the office, and I'm accurately quoted in a Ralph Hello article. It's one of those days. But you know, everybody's wondering about my leg. It's the first thing they ask. Haley, what happened to your leg? I'm like, well, everybody heard I was going to be in this comedy show, and they're like, break a leg. So I did. You think blondes are dumb. But I thought about using the leg as an excuse, and I said, no, you know what? I'll just be honest with people. They say, what happened to your leg? And I said, I got surgery, and that's the truth. They seem to be true, especially here in D.C. At home in New Jersey, where I got the surgery, people ask you, and they listen, and they
intently hear. It's like, no, what really happened? Did you kick Susan Estridge? What really happened? And they're like, no, I have a congenital deformity. My bones are growing out. Tell me what really happened. So I came up tonight with the five reasons why Kellyanne's foot is really in a cast. Number five, Jennifer Laszlo tripped me on the set of Hannity and Holmes. Number four, having just two of his own, Chris Matthews needed someone else's foot to stick in his mouth. Number three, I went salsa dancing with Jerry Nadler. Number two, I was caught between Jonathan Turley and a camera. And the number one reason why Kellyanne's foot is really in a cast, that Fred Thompson's bizarre and kinky foot fetish. I was thinking of using...
Joe has had enough. Pip, would you like any more, or have you had enough?
I actually was blissfully unaware of what she was saying because of the cell phone connection.
Oh, okay. Joe, what is your take on the comedic stylings of Kellyanne Conway?
She's too late. She takes too long on the setup.
She's right on the point on Fox and Friends.
Yeah.
She's got a talking point. She's ready to go.
Yeah.
Basically, I watched it. It's 9 minutes. It stinks on ice.
Yeah.
So, I don't
she goof on religion?
You know, she goofed on lawyers. She goofed on blondes.
Right.
I'm offended.
She's funny.
I mean, you know, whatever. It sucked. You know, but she's not supposed to be good. But
no.
We really don't need her giving critiques of comedy because she said the unfunny comedian. That was why I brought that up.
Yeah.
She said the unfunny.
Well, where was the venue that this was performed at?
This was at Washington, D.C., at like some type of fundraiser.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And she
they pay a lot per plate at those things, and that was really unfair of them.
Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you, Pip. I hope the food was better than the set. So, that was that. So, you guys have had enough of that?
Yeah.
So, we all agree she's an asshole for blaming the comics?
Yeah. Oh. Well, yes, yeah, she's an asshole for blaming the comics, but I could see why she would direct it at comics. Because comics are always constantly goofing on religion.
Yeah, but but if you're going to say the president isn't responsible for his words,
yeah.
You're going to say the comics are responsible for theirs?
But it's not a result of what happened because of the comics, you know? It's just...
But they trot her out there on the morning shows, Joe, like she's got a fucking brain in that little head full of rocks. And she's the one that led the president to victory. Her and Bannon. Because he was struggling before that. Well, and Comey, too. And maybe some of the Russians and Hillary. A lot of people came together to make the president win. But she was very good on it. All right. So then we have Megyn Kelly, who lost her gig because she was talking. I'll play the segment. I'll play the segment and then the apology where Megyn Kelly is talking about political correctness and Halloween costumes. So we'll play that and then we'll discuss it and then we'll get to the apology.
Show. I'm Megyn Kelly, and I have to give you a fair warning. I'm a little fired up over Halloween costumes this morning. Truly, political correctness has gone amok. There are strict rules on what you may and may not wear, issued by someone who thinks they're the boss of you. And joining me now to discuss it is NBC's Jenna Bush Hager and Jacob Soboroff, and a special guest on our panel today, all the way from California,
yes.
Television host Melissa Rivers is here. Melissa. Halloween is next week, as you know, right? I mean, this year, the costume police are cracking down like never before. Take a look at what some now say is an offensive costume. You may no longer dress as a cowboy. That's now offensive. Okay, the student union at Kent University in the UK is pushing to ban this, along with several other costumes, saying they cause offense, that they're inappropriate. And it goes on to sort of list the things that you're not allowed to dress like Harvey Weinstein.
Okay, but let's be honest.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Like, seriously, like, come on.
No, thank you.
Now,
that's creepy.
Yeah, but that is creepy.
I don't want the University of Kent telling me that I can't do it. You can't. You can't wear anything Mexican based. No sombrero. No maracas.
That's cultural
but that,
and race-based.
That's more of a spring break thing anyway.
Not okay.
this one left.
Obviously,
not spring break.
You cannot dress as a Native American. That's apparently been some rule for a long time. You can't dress as a nun. I mean, it's like, isn't the whole purpose of Halloween to dress up and pretend you are something other than yourself?
About the cowboy, because my girls have both been cowboys. They wore the costumes that I wore when I was little, living in Texas. And this is the thing. Cowboys do dress like that.
Yeah.
They said they can't dress like that because it's a stereotype. I know some cowboys.
That's a real thing. Yeah. The cowboys. Yeah, exactly. I'd be offended if I dress like a cowboy. It would be okay for people to be offended because I'd be the nerdiest cowboy of all time.
Yeah, that would be charming.
Yeah,
but,
thank you.
But, like, I spend time in Wyoming, and that's how they dress.
Yes,
but
totally.
You have to understand, I also come from a family where you're saying you can't dress like a nun. And I remember one year my mom went as a pregnant bride.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like
that, honestly, good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's so absurd how, who comes up with these rules? Well, and you know what they're saying you can dress at? There's a list of what you can dress as.
I don't want to know. Oh, no.
Yes. Letters of the alphabet.
Oh. You would be a letter J.
Yes.
Yes. No, no, I said to my team, I said, you know what, Doug and I are going to go together. I'm going to go as F and he can go as U.
Exactly.
Figure it out. See, and that is like a page out of how I was raised and how I raised my son.
Right.
So I feel very connected to you with that one.
Right from the beginning, we were soul sisters, Melissa. I don't know. I feel like, you know, there's definitely going to be offense caused on Halloween. By the way, some of 2018's most controversial Halloween costumes are the Handmaid's Tale costume.
Right. Well, because it's a sexy Handmaid's
Tale. Get over it. Wear what you want. You can't dress as Anne Frank. Which apparently, my team was asking, who chooses Anne Frank as their Halloween?
Right. And by the way, I want to know what that looks like.
I know.
Like, that's very...
You got the diary, I guess. I guess that's the Anne Frank costume.
It's a real costume.
But look, freedom of expression, this is not in our country, but freedom of expression is a beautiful thing. So is freedom of speech. It's part of why I like living in the United States of America. If you're going to dress like an idiot, act like an idiot, and actually dress and be racist, then somebody should say something to somebody.
Yeah.
But you should still be able to dress like a moron.
But what is racist? Because truly, you do get in trouble if you are a white person who puts on blackface for Halloween, or a black person who puts on whiteface for Halloween. Like, when I was a kid, that was okay as long as you were dressing up as like a character.
If somebody feels like something is offensive to them, then you should say it, and that's fair game.
Yeah, and
you should
also
be able to take it if you're going to dress up like
that. Yeah, you got to be able to take it.
Yeah.
One of the things they mentioned is people dressing up like Nazis, and this. If you think it's offensive, it probably is.
Yep.
And one of my big complaints just about society right now is whatever happened, and I know how you were raised. I don't know how you were raised, but
that's questionable.
Yeah. Whatever happened to just manners and polite society?
But on Halloween,
you've got guys running around with fake axes coming out of their head.
But what I'm saying
It's going to be jarring.
Right, but what I'm saying is in polite society, someone who's raised it would not think that dressing as a Nazi is okay.
I
think that there are limits to how far you want to go.
But
if you're making people feel bad.
But I'm saying normal people kind of know where that line is.
Yes, right.
I mean, I have a son that dressed as a fireman with an axe and then insisted on carrying the axe around for like a week.
But there was a controversy on the Real Housewives of New York with Luann, and she dresses Diana Ross. And she made her skin look darker than it really is. And people said that that was racist. And I don't know. I felt like, who doesn't love Diana Ross? She wants to look like Diana Ross for one day. I don't know how like that got racist on Halloween. It's not like she's walking around
in
general.
I have not seen it. But
you have watched it. Me too.
And by the way, I haven't seen the other. But if she really wanted to look like Diana Ross, she should have dressed as Michael Jackson. Because they...
I don't know. I can't keep up with the number of people that
I'll follow. Just come on, we're already in the deep end.
Literally,
of the
I can't keep up with the number of people that we're offending just by being like normal people these days.
Okay. So that was. There was quite the uproar. Let's talk about that. All right, should we be allowed to dress as Nazis? One of the princes got in trouble for that.
If you want to. But you have to get the repercussions.
Good thing they weren't featured in any commercials.
Yeah.
That was a talk about the party you went to.
Uh-huh.
there's repercussions. What about Anne Frank?
insert if you want if in certain things if you go into a party where you know you feel that it would be a bit or whatever you dress like Anne Frank. It just if the people laugh there's repercussions.
Native Americans
same thing.
Cowboys
same thing.
Blackface.
I don't understand the cowboy one.
I guess because you're appropriating the cowboy lifestyle, yeah. Or you're making fun of the guy in the Village People. I don't know.
I don't get it.
Well, that's a lifestyle. It's what they wear, so I guess it would be the same rules.
Oh, dear.
Blackface.
Blackface, same thing.
Is it racist? It's very racist, yeah. The origin of it.
Depends on the context and the context of the costume.
I don't know, Pip. You think it's racist? Pip?
Well, I'm sorry. Say it again?
Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. Do you think wearing blackface is racist?
I do think wearing blackface is racist because it is born out of a racist beginnings.
But what about if it's like paying somebody a tribute, like they said in the Diana Ross thing, somebody who you hold with great affection?
Look, years ago, I didn't think that was a problem because you're trying to look as much like the character you're portraying as possible. But I'm not a black person. And black people say that it's offensive to them, so I have to believe that they are offended by that and say that, no, it's not okay.
Well, I mean, clearly it has changed because I don't think it was an issue when we were growing up. Is it good that it's changed?
I think it is good that it's changed in that particular instance. I think that it's not cool that for years we as white, you know, European background Americans thought it was okay to parade around making fun of other people because of what they look like.
But I don't. What happens if a black person puts on a peach face? Say they want to be Trump, so they get some like orange toner or something. I mean, is that offensive?
Well, I mean, it's not offensive to me. However, as a white person, I have to be aware of my white privilege, and as the person that's the culture that's been in power for so many years, we're talking about people who were, you know, enslaved and then made fun of after, and of course oppressed after they were even freed. So it's a different thing. If somebody wants to dress up as white, it's not going to offend me.
If you saw somebody who liked the president, who liked President Obama, excuse me, and you knew they liked President Obama, but they were a white person and they put on, blackface, brownface, whatever you want to call it, you would be offended. You would take offense.
I would think that they would have more sense than to do that in this day and age. I don't know that I would necessarily be offended, but I have to bow to the feelings of people of color, and they find it offensive, so I have to go with that.
Listen, I get why people are offended, and this did offend a lot of people over at NBC, where Megyn Kelly is not well-liked. She was not well-liked, where the show is not doing well. They actually held a panel with some of their African-American personalities, including Al Roker, and I guess they aired the grievances that they thought was wrong with this. I did not think Megyn Kelly was trying to be malicious in what she was saying.
She wasn't.
I think if... you know, you're offended by what she said, you would be offended at her ignorance, but I don't think you would be offended at her intent, because I did not.
I don't think that she was trying to be mean or offensive. I think she was just really ignorant about how people feel about it.
But you want to know something? You know, and Anthony Cumia is right when he says this. You always want to get involved in a conversation. Let's have a conversation. We need to have a conversation. And then when you have a conversation, if somebody doesn't like what you say in the conversation, you're either fired or you're silenced. It's going to get worse. It's getting worse.
Well, I do think this is a reason why people hate liberals. Listen. I think liberals need to pick and choose. There are certain hills worth dying on. If you're upset because black people are not getting the same opportunities as white people, or they're not getting paid the same amount for the same job done as white people, I'm right there with you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in lockstep with you. Go, this is wrong. This is bullshit. This, I might think it's wrong. I might say don't do it. I don't know if this is worth costing somebody their job.
I can't, listening to that dialogue, she said nothing that was offensive.
Well, not offensive
that was
to
mean.
You. It was as Pip was saying, it could be offensive to black people. But I don't think the intent was there.
But she even mentioned that where if it wasn't hurtful, you know, or meant in a derogatory way, it shouldn't be a problem. She said that.
Right, and that's where black people would say, well, it's obviously hurtful. That's what So she got a lot of shit for that. She got a lot of shit for that.
Can I add something to what I was saying before?
No, you have enough opinion.
We've
don't talk.
We've had enough of your shit.
Bye.
Stop it. What?
No, the thing was that you asked me, did I think that, you know, putting on blackface is offensive? And I stand by what I said before. But if you're asking me if I thought what she said was offensive, I don't think it was, like, offensive enough to get fired.
No, it wasn't.
Well, there was quite the backlash. No. There was quite the backlash. Let me play you the apology, because an apology always has to come. And there's all different degrees of apology. The apology because I have to, and then sometimes go, I think they really meant it. Yeah. So here is the Megyn Kelly apology, and we can judge her as she should be judged.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Megyn Kelly, and I want to begin with two words. I'm sorry. You may have heard that yesterday we had a discussion here about political correctness and Halloween costumes. And that conversation turned to whether it is ever okay for a person of one race to dress up as another. A black person making their face lighter or a white person making theirs darker to make a costume complete. I defended the idea, saying as long as it was respectful and part of a Halloween costume, it seemed okay. Well, I was wrong, and I am sorry. One of the great parts of sitting in this chair each day is getting to discuss different points of view. Sometimes I talk and sometimes I listen. And yesterday I learned. I learned that given the history of blackface being used in awful ways by racists in this country, it is not okay for that to be part of any costume, Halloween or otherwise. I have never been a PC kind of person. But I do understand the value in being sensitive to our history, particularly on race and ethnicity. This past year has been so painful for many people of color. The country feels so divided, and I have no wish to add to that pain and offense. I believe this is a time for more understanding, more love, more sensitivity, and honor. And I want to be part of that. Thank you for listening. For helping me listen to.
Now, I will tell you, in that audience, she got a standing ovation, including from black women, were standing to applaud that. To me, I watched it. To me, it appeared like she had tears in her eyes, and I don't think it's because she got called into the principal's office. To me, it seemed like she was being sincere. To me, it felt like, you know, some people pulled her aside and go, not like, hey, you really fucked up. To me, it seemed like they explained why it would be wrong to blackface. And to me, it seemed like Megyn Kelly got it.
But the thing about it is that she prefaced that when she originally said that. I mean, are we in a state where people are looking at something you blatantly say and she said it is, you know, it was tasteful, it's not hurt, you know. It would be okay, and then everybody. And, well, it's, you know, it's right, and through, yeah, but in certain instances, absolutely. Where it's getting ridiculous that you can't say anything or say things the right way, and if somebody gets bent out of shape, you have to sit there and go on this apology thing. It's going to get worse where people can't say what they feel or say what they felt should be said or clarify things for the fear of being called on the carpet for it.
I would feel a lot better about this if they just fired her a couple months from now because she does have bad ratings and because they don't like her there and it hasn't worked. I'd feel a lot better about it and go, listen, it just hasn't worked out. You know, no heart. Then firing her for this, because it seemed like she had, like I said the first, she didn't have any ill intent, and it seemed like whatever message was the proper message to get because African Americans were hurt by this, it seemed like it affected her. It seems really shitty if now even if you apologize and it's sincere, not the Roseanne bullshit. This seems sincere. This seemed like a woman who was not trying to be malicious in the first place, unlike Roseanne. You could say whatever you want. She could blame it on the drug she's on. Roseanne had ill intent in her heart. Megyn Kelly didn't have ill intent. It was her opinion. Maybe it was ignorant. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
It wasn't ignorant. She said essentially what the truth is. She spoke what she said. She wasn't being
right, but,
racist.
But that's your truth. It's not an African American. We don't have that experience.
But she said that if, you know, if it was not if it was tastefully done and it was done in
I think what the black people who complain would say, there is no tasteful way to do it. I think that's what they would say. You can't tastefully do blackface. That's what they would say.
Well, if you know what though, if I'm a fan of President Obama and I want to, you know, I'm part
I wait
of a group,
for that day.
But I wanted, you know, I want to be part of like a, you know, let's say Hillary. Let's say with a costume party, and I, you know, Joe's girl wants to look like Hillary Clinton. I'll go as Obama and I'll put blackface.
I'd go. What's
on.
The catch?
But the thing about it, I'm not being. We want to look. I'm putting the blackface. I'm not, you know, it because he's black. It's not being ignorant. It's not being malicious. It's not being racist. I'm dressing like the president of the United States, who happens to be black.
Listen, I get why she doesn't think it's bad. I get why black people are offended. I'm kind of where she was on it. But that being said, I don't want to hurt people. Like she said, she didn't want to hurt people. She got it.
But whatever
the message was, she got it. It just sends a bad message.
That you can't state something the first time around and be blatant about it, and then somebody gets bent out of shape, and you have to go on an apology. But people can't understand that you weren't being racist in the first place talking about that.
But here's the real problem with it. They got their apology. They got a heartfelt apology. So if you want to bring her into the principal's office because she fucked up on the first day, so be it. That's the world we live in. She apologized.
I tell audiences this when I do that whole segment on words that and I tell the audience, I go it, you know, it affects the entertainment community, but I'm telling you folks, I go, we have to stop this, because let me tell you something, you're going to be at work and you're going to say something just off the cuff that wasn't meant to be an offensive, and next thing you're in the HR office. It's getting out of hand. It's getting ridiculous.
I also feel, and I've said this before, she's being held to a higher standard than our politicians are. Our politicians are retweeting Nazi sympathizers. They're still in office. She did nothing near that. Listen, like I said, I get she's not doing well. But hold off. Don't send the message that she fucks up and she comes back. In their opinion, she fucks up.
Well, another thing, too, is probably because of her contract, this, that, and the other. They're working on giving her the heave-ho. That's like an open door.
Well, she's got a $20 million a year contract.
Well, it's almost like when Anthony, Cumia had the whole thing with the photo incident, and he tweeted that, okay? If that wasn't a holiday weekend, nothing would have ever happened. SiriusXM was looking to cut those guys, and he found a way to cut the budget on those guys, and he found a way to
do it. Yeah, but he didn't apologize. She apologized.
Yeah, but he was, because he does.
I'm not saying he should have or shouldn't have apologized, but I'm saying she did what was told.
She did what she was told.
I don't, you know what, but I'm going to say from that, because I watched it, it was heartfelt. She did what she thought was
right. I didn't
right.
feel it was heartfelt. I think she was just reading a statement.
Really?
Reading a statement, yeah.
Did you see the video of it?
No.
I saw the video. There was tears in her eyes.
All right, she's a good actress.
I don't think she is. Yeah. What do you think, Pip?
Well, I did think that she was sincere about it.
You do
and
or
I
don't?
I also read commentary, which I don't necessarily agree with.
Wait. Hold on. Go back. Hold on. Go back. Stop, woman. You do or don't think she was sincere?
I do think she was sincere.
Okay. Go on. I'm sorry.
But I also read commentary that where people said that this is the same woman who argued about that Jesus Christ has to be a white man. And so with that combined with this, people were taking that as a case for she has some kind of, I guess, like she has a horse in this race that, you know, she really is, you know, racist. And I don't necessarily agree with that either. But
sure were a lot of black women in the audience who didn't think she was racist.
I know. And I think that there's a distinction between, like what they were talking about. I watched the Real Housewives show, and I knew what they were talking about, that the woman came out and she put on bronzer when she was dressed as Diana Ross. She was a terrible Diana Ross, by the way. But the thing was, if you're dressing up as a black person just to make fun of black people, of course, that's terrible. I do kind of wonder why it's equally offensive if you're dressing up to make yourself look as close to a specific person. But I have to accept that that is considered, you know, offensive, and just hope that everybody just listens to it and says, oh, okay, if that's offensive, I won't do it.
Listen, Megyn Kelly is going to be fine. But from a political standpoint, this is fucking terrible for liberals. This is why people like this is why people don't like liberals, because most of, they've done surveys like 80% of the country hates the PC culture. It's like we're killing this woman. She gave you the apology. You know what she said was not meant.
What?
Gave an apology that she really didn't even have to apologize for.
That's your opinion. That's your opinion. Others feel differently. Either way, she gave the apology. We all agreed she wasn't being malicious in her initial statements. It's just too much. Yeah. It's, I mean, at some point, you got to let people say what they're going to say. You got to let people, you know what? If all the sponsors pull out from it, then okay, she's got to go. But I didn't hear any stories of sponsors pulling out. We know that's what happens. When the sponsors go pull out, you got to go, because this is a business.
And
I get that.
And also, it's going to reach from entertainment. It's going to your workplace. You say you got to watch what you say, or you're going to be hauled into HR over some nonsensical thing, and it's costing people a job. It's out of hand. It's getting out of hand.
I feel a little bad. I feel bad for her. I don't know the answer to the blackface. I really, you know, if it offends people, I would say, like, if it offends people, it's not really worth it to me. If I, like, that's why I wouldn't dress as a Nazi, for instance. But you know, I used to dress up as, you know, I used to dress up as a woman, you know, for Halloween. And that was something we did. Now maybe you're making fun of the trans community. I don't know where the line is anymore.
Well, even so, when Rod got, last time Rod got played, I was the only one that really dressed up that night. You see the outfit.
Yeah, but where
I
else
wear.
Are you going to wear the muumuu?
I understand that. And I'm actually thinking, I wonder if somebody would get up, complain that I'm goofing on transgender when they
you
don't
could.
Know where the character, you know, that's the way we...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where the line is anymore. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You don't know where the
line
is.
And the
line
keeps on moving.
And it keeps on moving. Yeah. And that is a direct hit on freedom of speech, where you don't know where you could say something.
No, she has the right to say it.
But
freedom of speech is about the government stopping your right. She can say it. You know, it's just a PC world. I'm saying it seems like PC overreach. I always say, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? People say, I'm not PC, and I go, well, that doesn't mean you have to be an asshole. I don't feel – she wasn't PC, but she wasn't being an asshole. You know, she wasn't being mean to be mean. She was like, you know, those – she wasn't like, these black people need to deal with it. If I want to wear it, I'm going to – she wasn't doing that.
She said if it was tastefully done.
Yeah, I think it's too much.
Tastefully does a week. Well, I don't – well, you know what, though? If you feel that way, you feel that way. You shouldn't lose your job. If you say, well, I don't – you know, and as an African-American, but, well, I don't feel that it's tastefully done. Okay. There's a different, you know, maybe I have ever think that, but you know, it wasn't like, all right, who gives a shit? Put on good, start mammying it up. You know, now you got a problem. But she was specific. She said, as long as it was tastefully done, and taste is, am I going to put a black bass on and sing Mammy, or am I a fan of President Obama, and I want, you know, my girlfriend is dressed like Hillary, and I want, you know, to look, I got to put bronzing on or whatever to make it look accurate.
By the way, that costume has a different message at the compound than it does in other places. So just keep that in mind. I don't suggest it.
Well, you saw the way I dressed on Saturday. It was radically opposite.
I thought you were
white.
I thought you were skinhead and there was a rally.
White.
I had no idea you were Mr. Clean. I thought you were marching to a rally.
Yeah, fine.
I think it's bad all around. I think it's too much. At some point, you got to go. This isn't the one we're going to fire.
Going to affect people at work. You know.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more story and then get out of here. Sound good?
Yeah.
Should we do a little turbulent air?
Yeah.
All right.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
Why did he have to call the cloud black? That's where it's going to go.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah.
I expect an apology to clouds on the next show.
All right, I'll write something.
What?
All right. You know, to the cumulus, to the cirrus, I didn't make any malice comments on a black cloud. You know,
you don't know our struggle.
Yeah, you don't know.
People don't like us because we bring rain.
Yeah, that's right.
But rain's important.
You know what it's like being hassled by the jet stream? Yeah.
Touching me and blowing me.
Blowing me all over the world.
president Joe doesn't even believe I exist. Thinks I'm a Chinese hoax. Do I look Chinese?
To the Chinese.
To hoaxes. To the hoax community.
Fucking end. Even though you're not true, but maybe you are true, who am I to say?
Who am I to judge?
I apologize.
There is a great man said, what was his name, Rudy Giuliani? Truth is not truth. Yeah. A hoax is not a hoax.
To Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy, I apologize. To the American Italian community, I apologize. To all former governors of New York, mayors of New York, I
apologize.
That's
where it's going, man. That's where it's going.
To the fine citizens of New York, I apologize. To people who are stuck in traffic in New York, I apologize. It doesn't end.
Yeah.
What, Pip?
I just said, by the way, Joe's girl says, now Joe's fired.
Now Joe is what?
Fired.
Yeah, funny.
Yeah, well, he triggered me. Trigger. Trigger was the word.
To all guns.
Oh, no.
To the gun supporting community.
Look, I'm the guy that want to break early. Keep going with a bit.
Asshole. Bit's a bit.
There you go. Right. Always time for a bit. Always time.
What, Pip?
You're not allowed to talk about cowboys' horses either.
Or the what they rode in on.
Yes.
Anyway.
Funny. Give me that one.
Thank you. A Tampa man has been accused of sexually assaulting a woman on a Southwest Airlines flight from Houston to Albuquerque. Ooh, Albuquerque. On Sunday. After being questioned by law enforcement, Bruce Michael Alexander, three first names, impressive, 49, told authorities that the President of the United States says it's okay to grab women by their private parts.
Everyone in the pool.
The woman identified as CW in the complaint said she felt a hand from behind grab the right side of her right breast. Well, why are you laughing at that? That's not funny.
That's just because I'm thinking CW should be, as the man said, CT for cock tease. Either
you are a problem.
I apologize to all the cock teasers out there. I misspoke.
All right. It's a good start. Well... When the sponsors pull out, I'll let you know. While a window seat in front of Alexander, the complaint details the incident, which began when CW was sleeping on the flight when she woke up to Alexander's hand at and around her bra line. She dismissed it as an accident, according to the complaint. Sure. Swear, we randomly grow people by mistake.
Yeah.
Then half an hour later, she said, she felt a hand grab and squeeze her upper arm, then returned to her right side, groping her chest area. The woman said she looked down to find the hand was hairy with thick fingers and dirty fingernails. Joe, I didn't know you were traveling.
You know, when I read this story, I'm like, I do apologize.
Joe, what were you doing, you headline maker?
You can tell who does what on that. You know, the Southwest, they don't wear uniforms on that plane. You know who the fuck anybody is on that plane.
Yeah, but you're the creep. We all know that.
Yeah.
I read the story before, and I know that it said hairy and thick fingers, but just now when you said it, it sounded like thick fingers. And I said, oh, we have a completely different story now.
That's when, according to the woman, why are you laughing?
What? Just going. Okay. According to,
she had something to get off.
Oh, by the way, Pip, this I'm sitting in your chair. It seems that you generate a lot of snot when you're in this chair. I'm cornering the market on mucus.
It's the spot, right?
Yeah. You just want to blow your nose when you sit here.
I'm telling you right now, if you do what she does in that fucking seat, you're never coming back.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Is this the seat?
Well, it's not the spot. It's not the chair.
All right. Okay.
If you do that, mister.
All right.
Don't come back.
Gotcha.
You'll have to apologize to the upholstery.
Apologize to Davin's chair for your...
Then she has... And people have no idea what we're talking about, and that's perfect.
Yeah.
Then she has to say, Pip, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to make sure.
That's what the stewardess said?
What? Pip, you still there?
Yeah, I know she's on the flight.
It's code word for tits.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, okay.
Then she asked a Southwest crew member to change her seat, and she was relocated to the rear of the plane, according to the complaint. The woman and the alleged perpetrator both confirmed to authorities that they had not been intoxicated. After being questioned by authorities upon the plane's landing, Alexander was handcuffed. First, he asked police what kind of sentence he might face if convicted of the charges against him, authorities said. Then, according to the complaint, he stated that the President of the United States says it's okay to grab women by their private parts.
He then was released.
He was trying.
Give it a Magna hat and released.
In August, the New York Times reported that sexual assault aboard aircrafts have become an increasingly recognized problem for passengers, growing by about 30% in the past 4 years. Some airlines are even introducing new policies regarding sexual assaults, and the FBI is encouraging victims to come forward unless somebody's running for judge. According to a survey by the Association of Flight Attendants, even flight attendants themselves routinely experience unwanted touching but are often reluctant to tell their managers for fear of retaliation. All right, to be fair, Trump didn't say that. He said when you are famous, they will let you grab them by the pussy.
unless there's something in the story, I don't know. This guy's not famous, so he doesn't have permission to grab him by the pussy.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, as much as I hate to defend the Trump, and I think we've gathered that from this fucking show tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't his fault.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's – maybe it's the late-night comedians.
Well, it's not like he's on Air Force One and he pulled it.
He might. We better know.
Yeah.
But it does show that people do look to the president for moral leadership. Now, I don't think this guy was right to say what he say or do what he did.
Because he's a fucking nut.
He is a nut. But that's what you got to worry about. You don't got to worry about normal people who listen to these people talking. Oh, all right, he's just exaggerating, trying to get laughs or ha-has. It's the nuts you got to worry about, which is why they all need to be more responsible. That's my point. You know, Trump never said it's okay for anti-Semites to go into a synagogue and shoot people that are helping refugees.
Yeah.
But a nut hears what he wants to hear. Trump never said mail pipe bombs to the Democrat. He never said that. But a nut thinks he's doing Trump's bidding. You know, Bernie never said, well, anything close to shooting up a bunch of senators. But, you know, these nuts think that they're doing the bidding. They're not, which is why you have to be so cognizant in these positions of the nut. You don't got to worry about the normals. You got to worry about the nuts. What?
Yeah, but I mean, how much could you protect yourself against what a nut is going to glean from what you say? I mean, I know from where I speak here because my mom was a nut and she thought the TV was talking to her. What can you do? You can't protect yourself from schizophrenia or psychopaths.
No, but they have to be mindful that they're out there. And that's why, you know, here's the thing. People say I hate politicians who talk on political speak. Why can't they just tell it like it is? For whatever like it is means, if you just talk like we do on this show or like we would do in private, if you talk in one way, it's private. But when you have a microphone, a nut might be listening. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's why political correctness to a degree is necessary. That's why you have to get very bland answers from these people. That's why you can't fire up the base in certain ways. That's why you can't say, you know, laud a congressman who body slammed a reporter for asking a question. Because there's nuts out there that are going to say, well, the president says it's okay. Or the congressman or the senator says it's okay. That's what you got to worry about. That's the reality.
If they are gleaning something that you didn't say, you have no control over that. But if you're literally saying, go ahead and do that, or like you are condoning that behavior, then you don't even have only the nuts thinking that they've been given permission.
Listen, I don't think this is the president's fault, but I do think it shows what happens when you don't have somebody who's morally superior. And you could say the same thing with Bill Clinton. You know, people might have gotten it's okay to mess around with the intern when you're married, I guess.
Yeah.
Or, you know, rape women if you believe he raped those women, you know, and stay in power. I see how you could get that. But that's why you really cherish when you have somebody, and this is not a political thing, but somebody who's as squeaky clean as a Barack Obama, who, you know, whatever you're going to say about him, he didn't have all this illicit shit going on. So, you know, that's
right. He kept it in his pants.
He kept it in his pants. He was bland. He didn't rile people up to do shit like that. So, yeah, I enjoyed the professorial tone, but other people didn't. Mm. But that's why that's of value. So the nuts can't act because they're thinking they're doing somebody's bidding. This guy who sent the pipe bomb thought he was doing the president's bidding. There's no denying that. The president never said send pipe bombs. He never gave a speech and go, you should send pipe bombs and try to kill these people. Hillary or Pelosi never said send rice into President Trump. Nobody ever said that. But they somehow think they're doing some type of good. So you have to be cognizant.
Yeah.
Joe, anything?
We get to a point where, you know, you have to watch what you say because there's 1% people that are nuts.
That's where we
are. Do we have to tone everything down? Are we being handcuffed by these people in how we speak?
If you're in certain positions, yes. That's where we are. Because it's very easy, apparently, to make bombs. If you could do it in your van. It's very easy to get weapons. Apparently, it's fairly easy to get ricin. So, yes, that's where we are. And I don't like it, but that's just the reality of it. We got to watch what we say. You know, you can't scream fire in the comedy club.
No.
You know, unless the nachos are burnt.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you gotta watch. We have, when we hit the stage, we have a certain responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you can't, you know, comics, we're not supposed to incite audiences to violence, and we have much less power than these people do. You gotta listen. It's not right, and this guy, like I said, the president never said that.
Right.
I mean, now listen. If you take from the president's actions that it's okay to bang porn stars raw dog, I'll go, all right, I'll give you that. Because apparently he did, and I guess it's okay. That's the message you could take from the president. Bang your porn stars raw dog. No condoms needed.
Hail to the chief.
Hail to the chief. Yeah, I think that's been the message of this presidency. That's what I've got. But yeah, so that's where we
you see, he gets along with Yeltsin. So Mr. Yeltsin. Not Yeltsin. I'm sorry, it's late.
Putin.
So did you do the girl raw dog?
I can see the conversation.
It was great. It was great.
Listen, there's a whole thing, but we're not going to do it now, where Putin was talking about America. We're not going to do that now. It's a whole different conversation. Yeah. But, yeah. So, yeah, I think what we've learned is you got to watch what you say. Even if you don't intend for bad things to happen, nuts are listening. Mm. And that's why I get so upset with these conspiracy theories. Because there's nuts that believe the worst.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I have the problem. But, no, I don't think President Trump gave everybody who's flying on a plane permission to grab people in the pussy. And he said the pussy. He grabbed the fucking tit in the arm. He can't even fucking listen right, this guy. This guy's an asshole.
See, I want to apologize to all the assholes out there who might have offended them.
No, I want to offend assholes.
Okay.
I'm going to stand by that.
We walk back our position on offending assholes.
Yeah, no, we're
fuck you guys.
Yes, 100% fuck you guys if you're an asshole. I stand by that. But, yeah. All right, I guess we won't do the scammer stuff tonight. We had a lot of other stuff that we covered.
I don't feel well.
Joe's not feeling well, and, you know, Pip has to curl up into fetal position.
And I got a day program early.
And, yeah. All right. So that's it. It was a fun show, though.
Yes.
Let's thank some people. Tower of Energy. Tower of Energy is an energy solutions consulting company that specializes in residential and commercial lighting solutions. Run by a 15-year lighting professional who guide you through the world of architectural-grade, environmentally friendly lighting for your home or commercial property. Tower of Energy is on the cutting edge of today's lighting technology. You can find them on Facebook by searching Tower of Energy LLC.
Portobello is Bergen County, New Jersey's most exclusive fine dining Italian restaurant. The Tuscan Villa setting will make you feel like you've been transported to the old country. And every dish is prepared with care and attention to detail, and the Portobello chefs are happy to cater to any dietary need, thus ensuring every visit is not just a meal, but an experience. Portobello is open for lunch and dinner Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday, Portobello features a sumptuous brunch in addition to their dinner menu, which is available all day. Friday and Saturday nights, Portobello features live entertainment starting at 9 p.m., Portobello Banquets. Now, that's your destination for that special event, Sweet 16, wedding, office party, or anything that has to impress. And their professional staff will ensure that your event will not be just an occasion, but a memory. Portobello Banquets also hosts the popular comedy nights throughout the year, which are produced by side-splitting owner Davin of Davin's Den. And we have one coming up.
Well, we're working on a date.
We're working on it. Working on that date. But stay tuned. Call Portobello to find out all they have to offer. They're at 175 Ramapo Valley Road in Oakland, New Jersey. And call that number, 201-337-8990. That's 201-337-8990. Visit their website, PortobelloNJ.com. You deserve the best. You deserve Portobello.
Sidespinning Productions, all your entertainment needs. Sidespinningproductions.com, 551-404-3094. Pip?
If you want to listen to a really good music show with classic rock and a little surprises sprinkled in, listen to
surprises.
The Richter Observatory.
Hold up. What surprises?
Surprises? I mean, like, surprises, not necessarily classical music. Like, they'll pull music out of the, you know, the deep reaches, the B-sides or album cuts that aren't necessarily played on just regular old classic rock stations.
He's going to the back wall.
Going to the back wall.
Yeah.
He's got a deep cut.
Yeah.
Playing track two from Tarkus.
I thought like a stripper was going to like jump out of a cake and blow me when you were talking about surprises. Like, I need to listen.
You know,
surprise for everyone.
Whatever we want goes on at home, but at HesterRiverRadio.com, that kind of stuff isn't happening.
That's what you think.
Yeah, I know.
I could just see before the party. Well, so what are we doing? We're going to put you in a cake. You're going to jump out and blow Davin.
Why can't we have parties like that?
Yeah. Who's that? The short guy with the Jess hat. All right. Get in the cake.
I'll tell you what. It sounds like a lovely evening. I'm all for it. Go on, Pip.
Okay. Well, I was just listening. I was just saying you should listen to the Richter Observatory on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Monday through Friday, 3 to 6.
Very good. Joe?
I'm going to be at Governor's Comedy, actually McGuire's Comedy Club on Sunday, 7 o'clock show. Go to govs.com and check out the information. Go to McGuire's.
Before I get out of here, I don't have anything to plug, but they're talking about a lot of depressing shit. I want to talk about two nice things real quick before we get out of here.
My smile.
Three nice things real quick. Joe's lovely smile. it lights up a serious cloud. It really is delightful. So we were talking about the Pittsburgh massacre. A Muslim organization has raised over $179,000 for the victims. It's climbing. They've offered to shop for them and cook for them and protect them while they pray. And they say, you know, this is repaying because I guess like after 9/11 and before that, the Jewish community, you know, did the same for them.
That's very nice. Very nice.
I thought it was very nice.
Yeah.
So
very nice.
And it is getting press. And like I said, when we were talking about the optics of the Muslim community, you know, we had Saad on us. They were saying, well, you know, we're out there and we're doing what we can. But I go, the optics aren't there, you know.
It's just a matter of what gets reported.
That's true. So, you know, it's on the news that they should report more of that. It's really – and this was big news, and I'm glad to see it got out there.
I am glad, too. It was very, very heartening. So, and the last thing that was very heartening. So this took place in Pittsburgh. I believe the head coach of the Steelers lives a couple blocks away from this synagogue, Tree of Life Synagogue. And I believe the sister of two of the brothers that were buried today used to work in the ticket office
right.
for the Steelers. So today, 100 members of the Steelers organization, including a lot of the football players, went to the funeral for the two brothers.
Oh, that's great.
And, you know, I thought that was great that they love the Steelers there. And also, you know, people want to shit on the NFL and the players. And these guys, they go into communities all the time, and it's not reported. Just want to put something positive.
Well, that's a good thing, too. And those were two very sweet men that were killed. You know, they were all very nice people. It's just a
well, except that one was a prick. But, you know what? Yeah.
But it's just a horrible tragedy, you know?
Yeah. So I just wanted to put, like, you know what? There's good stuff out there. And, you know, you got to get away from the TV sometimes and the Facebook and the online. There's good stuff out there. That's who we should be. I don't know if it's the country we are, but there are certainly elements of it, and that's who we should all – we should demand this from our leaders.
Yes.
This type of behavior, this type of coming together, not the rhetoric to tear apart for a few more votes. And it starts with us. We're the ones who elect these people. You know, it's going to come down to whether we're going to put these people in – when they're saying awful things just because we like their agenda. It really comes down to us.
The one thing that I do feel that needs to stop, the one key thing, is – and this is both parties, and both parties are very guilty of it – making decisions on how it helps the party but not the populace.
Yeah, that would be nice. I agree with you there. Enough with the party before the people, the country.
Right.
But, yeah, so I wanted to – I had nothing to plug, but I wanted to bring – those two things up that did cheer me up. Hopefully this show, if you were in a bad mood, cheered you up in some way. Hope to. I know we talked about a lot of heavy shit. Hopefully we had some funny stuff. Hopefully we cheered you up a bit, Pip?
Yes.
That was convincing.
Okay. Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah.
Listen, if I have to send a very bad Facebook post on Davin's Den, I guess we failed Pip.
Yeah.
But hopefully we talked Pip off the ledge. Hopefully Joe feels better. Thank you guys for listening. We hope you guys have a great week. Get out there and vote. Make your feelings known. It's next Tuesday. Join us next Tuesday. So if you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.